You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thessalonians 4:16-17 makes clear that there will be a rapture. We believe in the rapture. I believe in the rapture. I believe you believe in the rapture. However, as certain as the second coming is, according to the scriptures, according to the Word of God, we should be just as certain that the Holy Bible never speaks of a third coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been amazed how many pre-trib rapture believers are shocked by the impossibility of belief in a pre-trib rapture without believing in the third coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, if you're going to be pre-trib, you have to believe in a third coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that more later. Some might say there will be a secret coming, to which anyone who knows the Word of God by reading every word of the KJV Holy Bible knows. That just is so secret that not one single verse of Scripture speaks of that secret coming. And Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants," plural, "the prophets," plural. We must endure to the end. God said so. Do you know how many times the Lord Jesus Christ said so? Do you? How many first resurrections are there? I'll answer that one for you. One, God said so. The resurrection is on the last day. God said so. Do you know how many times Jesus said so in just John chapter 6, just one chapter? You know how many times that Jesus said the resurrection is on the last day? Just in one chapter? I know. You know. Four times Jesus said that just in one chapter, that the resurrection is on the last day. The fact is that not one single verse of Scripture in context, rightly divided by the Holy Ghost, supports the three comings of the Lord. The vast majority pay no attention to the fact that the Lord said immediately after the tribulation is when he sends his angels for his elect. People believe what they choose to believe, no matter how much logic, truth, and the very Word of God would say otherwise. Pre-trib rapture professors are not prepared, and therefore cannot prepare those who choose to believe the false, unscriptural, and illogical idea. They will not have to endure to the end that which the Lord said. We must endure to the end. What you or I think is not the issue. What God said is the issue. God will do and God will bring to pass exactly what he said. His plan and his will is what will happen, whether we believe it or not, whether we like it or not. But now, sadly, most pre-trib believers have probably already quit listening. Or if you're reading this, most pre-trib rapture believers would never even get as far as we've come in this short space of time with just those few words. Most do not like or appreciate someone telling them there's no Santa Claus. Lies are chosen, which they want to believe. The majority do not want to hear any truth which shows how illogical and void of truth and how opposed to the scriptures the false best-selling pre-trib doctrines really are. They just don't want it. They have chosen to believe lies. Now, if there is a pre-trib believer or professor of pre-trib still having ears to hear, please hear what God says about it. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Read it. I hope God gives you ears to hear. Read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Let me assure everyone that this subject, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, is far too important not to know. Surely the Lord wants us to know, and not just think we know. Almost 1/4 of the entire Holy Bible, which God promised would be perfectly inspired, perfectly preserved, and perfectly purified 7 times by His Holy Spirit of truth, speaks about the Great Tribulation and last days events. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet, as he ought to know. This is something which God wants His people to know, and not just think we know. And those who are wise will not just think they know about the truth of the issue. The wise will not refuse to hear the truth of this issue according to the more sure word of the KJV Holy Bible and the Spirit of Truth. Let me tell you that it's irrelevant what Hal Lindsey, Jack Van Impe, and even your pastor says. What God said is relevant. Now, I'll grant you that it would be nice if those guys are right. However, let me tell you something that God knows, and I know about the biggest names in pre-trib rapture promotion. They know they are lying on purpose, yes. God knows it, and I know it about some of them, that they know that they're lying on purpose, and they will continue lying on purpose because they know that's what you want to hear. The pre-trib rapture position is impossible to justify without doing great violence to the Holy Scriptures. Not only that, the pre-trib rapture is not logically possible. Anyone who would really study the Scriptures, even a little, without the spin of the pre-trib big names being applied, anyone asking God to know the truth of the matter, would quickly find the pre-trib rapture makes no sense. Anyone who would read the KJV Holy Bible the way God said to read it, asking God to let them know by His Word and His Spirit the truth of the matter, would soon come to know it could not possibly happen according to the majority or big name spin. Yes, brethren, thus saith the Lord. Let me say it again. Thus saith the Lord. And anyone saying otherwise is deceived. They're a deceived, deceiving deceiver. That is simply speaking the truth in love to all who would choose to have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? What selfish reason could I have for exposing the lies and unscriptural basis of the popular, pleasant, what everyone likes to hear, pre-trib rapture doctrines? If I wanted lots of people to like my teaching, or if I wanted many supporters for the Great Joy and Great Tribulation ministry, if that was my desire, then I would accept the majority big name spin and teach pre-trib rapture as a fact, like all the people desire it to be. I mean, I'll even give you that it would be nice if it was that way, like the majority chooses to believe, and all the big names with the big ministry spinning. There are a few things which prove what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24 and Luke 6:13, like the ministers of pre-trib rapture doctrine prove it every day. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's bigger than a commandment. You can choose to break a commandment if you want. But Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. That's impossible. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The very rich and famous men like Dr. Tim LaHaye, Dr. Jack Van Impe, Dr. Hal Lindsey, Dr. Pat Robertson, Dr. Benny Hinn, Dr. Rob Parsley, Dr. James Robinson, Dr. Paul Crouch, Dr. Kim Kay, Dr. Jesse Duplantis, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Dr. John Hagee, Dr. Matthew Hagee, Dr. Bob Larson, Dr. Oral Roberts, and Dr. Charles Stanley prove their choice to serve mammon rather than God every time they teach pre-trib rapture doctrines. How do I dare say this? Because I fear God. And yes, some of them have had their lawyers write and threaten to sue me. And I simply rejoice. And I reread and recommend they read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and thank God to be counted worthy to suffer for righteousness' sake. It is great cause for rejoicing when His Spirit brings to our remembrance Matthew 5:10-12. Jesus said it is impossible to serve God in money. And the big-name pre-trib rapture professors prove it every day. Who would not like to believe pre-trib rapture doctrines? Exposing the lies of the rich and famous pre-trib rapture spinners is not what one does if you have chosen to serve mammon rather than serve God. You know not to expect many supporters of the work to which God called if you tell the truth about the pre-trib rapture spinners. The majority does not like to hear that we must prepare to endure to the end of the most perilous time in history. Telling the truth about the pre-trib rapture lies gains enemies and loses friends. More will tune out than tune in. My listeners will be few. My income will be small. To all such realities, I simply know that it's better to lose people than to lose God. To all those rich, famous, popular, and powerful pre-trib professors who would like to sue me or silence me, I would simply ask, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26 and Mark 8:36-37. I would also ask their lawyers to explain to them how much blood one may get out of a turnip. God wrote the book proving the pre-trib rapture is a lie. And sadly, most people have not read the KJV Holy Bible the way God said to read it. How's that? Every word, in context, in order, precept upon precept, line upon line, before going to the here a little, there a little. That's how God said to read it. Just try to find someone in these last days who has read the KJV Holy Bible that way. Every single word, in context, in order, precept upon precept, line upon line, straight through from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:20 to 1. They're few. They're very few. And that's very sad. But that too is in the prophecies. Where is the scripture proof that pre-trib rapture is unscriptural and false? You should know that I love that question, but few dare to ask it of me. Yes, I have written a book on that very subject. If there were such a one as a real apostle today, such an one might say of the Great Joy and Great Tribulation book, the scriptural compendium on the tribulation is excellent. In fact, that's exactly what Dr. Daniel C. Juster did say when he read the manuscript for the Great Joy and Great Tribulation book. As far as I'm concerned, he's the closest man I have ever known to be a real apostle in my lifetime. The Great Joy and Great Tribulation book is online for you to read at the website www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word. www.moreshoreword.com. www.moreshoreword.com. A compendium is a short, complete summary, a list or collection of various items. Yes, there you will find all of the scriptures related to the subject of the Great Tribulation in full context, no spin, and just a few simple comments to help unrest and unspin and to establish the truth of the matter. You will find the Great Joy and Great Tribulation book useful to quickly help friends and loved ones out of the very strong delusion and lies of pre-trib la-la land. The scriptures are arranged according to the men whom God chose to give the truth in this order: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Revelation, Daniel, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Peter. And though it's 386 pages, you can very quickly find the information you will need for any pre-trib deceiver. The scriptures are in ascending order, just like in your Bible. So if someone wanted to find the truth and context of what Revelation 3:10 says, you will quickly find that on page 119. I've chosen to serve God rather than money. Those who know me know that my lifestyle verifies that. We have no car, no health insurance, no life insurance, no houses, no lands, no credit cards, no checking accounts, no pension, no Social Security, no central heating, no air conditioning. Compare that lifestyle with any of the men we've mentioned. My wife was probably unique among American-born women. She had no washing machine and washed all of our clothes for the first 3 years of the 21st century on her knees at the side of the bathtub. Yes, she joyfully did that for the sake of the gospel and the calling to which we were sent. We're thankful to God and His saints that Betty does now have a very good new automatic washing machine. We are not a 501c3 ministry, so there is no one who can get a tax deduction for helping to sustain this great joy and great tribulation work and calling. And if you're wondering why I would say such a thing, see what it says in Matthew chapter 6, first 4 verses. The church is supposed to be the body of Christ. When a body becomes a business, that body becomes a prostitute. This should not be a mystery. If you want to see what God put in writing about it, just read Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And for certain, every Roman Catholic should now be hearing Revelation 18:4. And could the Lord be saying that to you too? What does corporate churchianity have to gain from such united, universal promotion of the ear-tickling doctrines of pre-trib lalaland? First, most of their paying customers would leave and take their tithes elsewhere. It will make their plans for a bigger building out of the question. The truth on this particular corporate churchianity doctrine would even raise the question of how they'll be able to keep up the mortgage they have on the building that they now have. Pure and simple, the vast majority of Christians have been taught the doctrines of pre-trib lalaland because it sells. The spin and resting is taught as factual and scriptural. However, in fact, it is error and a lie that is told because that is what the paying customers want to hear. Yes, everyone wants to believe it, unless they love the truth more than what they want to hear and believe. Joseph Goebbels was Hitler's minister of propaganda, and he proved that if people hear a lie often enough, they will eventually believe it. And he pointed out that the bigger the lie, the easier to believe. Today's ministers of church business in 501c3 La La Land could even show Goebbels a thing or two when it comes to selling the lies of pre-trib rapture. People believe what they choose to believe, and they will not even allow the Word of God in context, rightly divided by the Holy Ghost, to change what they have chosen to believe. Most who are listening to this, or if you're reading where it's posted, most have at some time in a so-called Christian bookstore seen what's there. And some may even have been to churches that are large enough to have a library. I want you to try and take a guess at the percentage of pre-trib rapture books and the percentage of post-trib rapture books. And I'll tell you how you can very quickly get that percentage pretty close. Count all the books, including all the Holy Bibles, and you will be close to the percentage of knowing what percentage of the books are pre-trib and what percentage of the books are post-trib like this. If the library has 1,000 books and 100 of them are Holy Bibles, then you would be pretty close in saying that 90% of the books are pre-trib and 10% are post-trib books. Yes, the Holy Bible is positively a post-tribulation rapture book. Positively. The Great Joy and Great Tribulation book is one of the few books other than the Holy Bible that is positively post-tribulation. And I would dare say one would not find other books on the subject of the rapture and the Great Tribulation that has even a small fraction of the number of KJV Holy Bible scriptures in the rapture books that are in the Great Joy and Great Tribulation book. Not even a small percentage. And I would encourage you to read the Great Joy and Great Tribulation book because it will build your faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you think TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, the biggest so-called Christian television network in the world, would provide program time where I might present the post-tribulation rapture truth? No, that's not possible. there could not possibly be 1 hour of equal time to present the truth of the post-tribulation rapture truth of the KJV Holy Bible. TBN knows their faithful paying customers would be offended, and it would hit TBN real hard where it hurts most, right in their pocketbook. And most now listening or reading this probably have already figured that the effect on the bottom line is what really affects TBN programming more than truth ever has or ever could. The famous so-called Christian leaders with deep pockets do not want to encourage anyone to take a hard, serious study of what the Holy Bible in full context without spin says regarding the Great Tribulation and the fact that the rapture comes immediately after the tribulation according to the Word of God. I also know from experience that they will even threaten to sue anyone who would expose the problems with their doctrine. They will marginalize them at the very least. I do rejoice at the fact that I have a reputation of being internationally outrageous. I rejoice that I'm called too fanatical. I just know my king was very fanatical in his love for me. And shame on me if I should be less than fanatical for such a great king as Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was pretty fanatical in his love that he showed on that cross. And shame on me if I can't be fanatical in my love for him. The rich and famous leaders of 501c3 La La Land are all in this together. They are united for the sake of money. They know how to merchandise, and they know what sells well and what does not sell at all. And they provide the best-selling gospel, which is not the gospel, but another gospel. And now, regardless of the size or the number of toes to be stepped upon, it is time that it be said with all holy boldness that dispensational theology is an abomination. It is time that it be plainly said that unless one dispenses with their dispensational theology, dispenses with the pre-tribulation rapture doctrines of the liars for hire, it is simply not possible to have ears to hear what the prophets of the Holy Bible are crying out to the churches today. The united group of liars for hire have redefined the faith. The faith. Their faith is not the faith of Abraham, Moses, the prophets, and the apostles. Real faith is the only thing which truly honors God as God. And such genuine faith, and there is only one real faith that could be called the faith in the one true God. That faith is measured by its determination to do what God said just because God said so. The new faith being proclaimed today by all of the liars for hire united in pre-trib La La Land for the sake of money is measured by the size of its bank account, with little or no regard for what God said. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now that tells us that just before we get raptured, our Lord Jesus Christ will have to descend from heaven, where he has been seated at the right hand of the Father since his ascension. We know that he will leave that position where he has been seated at the right hand of the Father, that he will leave that position in God's third heaven to return to this earth. We know that. We're talking about the second coming of the Lord. The scripture goes on to say, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is it possible to think about this scripture without a mind like concrete all mixed up and permanently set by the unity and unanimous spin of those church business leaders united for the sake of money? Is it possible? The scripture clearly tells us that in the Lord's second coming, several things are happening at the same time. There is the archangel sounding with the trump of God. You can find out about that in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, where it explicitly tells us exactly what trumpet that is. We are explicitly told by the more sure word of God that the dead in Christ are rising up a split second before those still alive and remaining. The resurrection, the rapture, and the Lord's return is a single simultaneous event that all happens in the twinkling of an eye. It has always been that way, and will always happen that way, no matter who says otherwise. And not one single person in the entire history of the entire history of the church even dared to think or say otherwise until 1830. Yes, until the 19th century, no one ever thought or wrote about something so preposterous as the third coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who say otherwise, and if they really have studied the matter, and if they say otherwise, then they know they are lying. They're lying on purpose. The more sure word of God in the Holy Bible explicitly tells that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive and remain will also meet him in the clouds at his second coming. But since the church became a business in the 20th century, complete with its 501c3 contracts with the states for tax deduction purposes, those united for money teach that after Jesus raptures them, he then takes them back to heaven and continues to be seated at the Father's right hand for, some say 7 years, some 3.5 years, or some other length of time, until after the great tribulation is wrapped up. And then he comes with them again for his third coming. Yes, third coming. Let me say it one more time. Third coming. If no one else will tell you this, my King, by his Spirit of truth, compels me to tell you that the Holy Bible has not one single verse in that entire Holy Bible in context, rightly divided by the Holy Ghost, that even remotely talks of the third coming of the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Indeed, saints throughout the entire history of the church have encouraged one another with the truth of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many, even of the pre-trib leading liars for hire, encourage anyone about the third coming of the Lord? Zero, zip, nada. They're sensitive to what can be believed and what is impossible to believe. It's simply impossible to believe that there's a third coming of the Lord in the entire Holy Bible. If no one else will tell you, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, let me be the first. The first coming. And the secret second coming for the super-duper saints, followed by 3 to 7 years later by a public second coming, is still 3. Yes, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And God will not change that no matter how much the super-duper saints want it that way or proclaim and teach it to be that way. The blessed hope of the Christian is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The blessed hope is not that there will be freedom from persecution, tribulation, pain, and suffering before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, but after. After. Does after mean at the beginning, middle, or the end? Let me ask you again. Does after mean at the beginning, in the middle, or at the end? Here's what Jesus said. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Jesus said he will send his angels for his elect, not before the tribulation, but immediately after. Jesus tells us it is immediately after the tribulation. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Notice the phrase, at the last trump. What does last mean? What does last mean? The Spirit of Truth tells me it refers to the last trump in the book of Revelation, the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings, and an earthquake and great hail. This is the end of the tribulation, when Christ's kingdom is set up on the earth. In this passage, we see all saints, from Adam to you and me, and beyond, get our reward at that time. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 4 is clearly speaking of those martyred during the tribulation. And then the second half of verse 5 says, this is the first resurrection. If this resurrection at the end of the tribulation is the first resurrection, then how could it be 7 or 3.5 or some period of time earlier when the pre-tribulation teachers say that the rapture occurs? The scripture is explicit in stating that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is a resurrection of a lot of people. And Revelation 20 verse 5, the second half of it, says that when the martyred tribulation saints are resurrected, that is the first resurrection. And if that is the first resurrection, and the Word of God says that is the first resurrection, then the rapture has to happen a split second later, in the twinkling of an eye. at the last trumpet, at the end of the tribulation. Do you remember when Jesus talked with Martha right before he raised her brother Lazarus from the dead? John 11:23. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I want you to consider what Martha says. It's the same thing every other scripture said. The same thing every believer believed throughout the entire Old Testament and throughout the history of the church until the 19th century. I want you to please consider what Martha says, that the resurrection, and there's only one first resurrection, is at the last day. And I want you to understand, too, that Jesus does not correct her. So according to Revelation 20, verse 5, the first resurrection is the one when those martyred during the great tribulation are resurrected, and then we which are alive will be caught up in the air with Christ. This is commonly called the rapture. This is the second coming, and there is not a single verse in the Bible that speaks of the third coming. 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Those passages prove that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together unto him is the same event. In verse 1 it says both phrases as if they are one event. In verse 3 it says that day, that day, that day. The day of the Lord. They both happen at the same time, in the same day, not 7 years or 3.5 years apart. In John 15:20, the Lord says, Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him, the Antichrist, to make war with the saints. It was given unto the Antichrist to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Pretty hard to make war or overcome somebody that's been raptured out, right? Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I want you to consider Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't even smell like smoke in Daniel 3:27. They were not raptured. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not raptured. They were protected. I tell you this, I don't think those three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would have traded their whole rest of their life for that one day that they got to walk in the fire with the Lord. God promises he will be with us. God promises he will protect us. God protected them in the fire. He did not rescue them out of the fire. If we look at the plagues that God brought on Egypt in Exodus, they didn't touch the Israelites, only Egypt. God did not take them out. He protected them in the midst of the judgment and the plagues. Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Is the end the end or what? Matthew 24:6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Is the end or what? Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Is the end or what? Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Is the end or what? People believe what they choose to believe. I believe what Jesus said, no matter who says otherwise. If you agree with Jesus, the one whose name is called the Word of God, you're right. And if you disagree with Yeshua, you are wrong. Do you love the truth, or do you love your doctrines? I believe Jesus, Yeshua, the one whose name is called the Word of God. I could go on and on to show how the Greek proves that the only parallel passage for Revelation 3:10 is John 17:15, where Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Not take them out, protect them, keep them. People believe what they choose to believe. I encourage you to believe Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. I would encourage you to read the Great Joy and Great Tribulation book. Your faith will be built up, because you're going to see the majority of that book is straight scripture in full context. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. No one is going to make merchandise out of you then, when you know the truth. And you need to know the truth. You better not just think you know the truth on this one. You better know that you know that you know. And how do we know anything? The only way any of us can know anything is when we can prove it by the Word of God, in full context, rightly divided by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. We need to know the Word of God in the KJV, the King Jesus Version, the only holy Bible, the God-promised perfect and only holy Bible. What about a Bible in another language? Well, you should be able to find in just about any language a Bible which has been brought back from that KJV into the Greek or into the Hebrew. In the Greek, you can find the Bambos translation. In French, you can find the Vaudois. In Dutch, you can find the Statenvertaling. God promised a perfect holy Bible. When you're having difficulty understanding the Word of God, you don't need alternate renderings. I want to tell you, these other Bibles, they do not produce faith. They produce doubt. Your faith cannot possibly be where it should be if you use different Bibles. The whole idea of different Bibles is a logical inconsistency, and something that no Muslim would ever do anything but laugh at. The Muslims, they laugh at the Christians with their different Bibles. They're quick to tell you there could only be one thing called a Quran. God promised a perfect holy Bible. And God keeps his promises. You can trust him. Get you a KJV. I like to call it the King Jesus Version. Or one that's brought back into your native language from that God promised perfect holy Bible. And read it the way God said. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Read it the way God said. God had a reason for putting the Bible together the way he did. He said we should read it precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, before we get to the here a little, there a little. Most people, all they've got in their whole Christian experience is a little here, a little, there a little experience. They don't know the context. And then the wolves in sheep's clothing, because they don't know the context, things taken out of context can become pretext for anything. You need to know what God said. Don't trust me. Get the Great Joy and Great Tribulation book. It's on the website. It's free. Just read the scriptures. Don't read any of my comments. Find out what God said about this. All the scriptures that relate to the Great Tribulation and the rapture are in that book, and they're easy to find, and they're quick to find any verse that you want to see what it is in context. And your faith will be built up with that book, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't tell you these things because I don't love you. I tell these things because I do love these people, even the rich ministers who are united for money. I say these things because I love them. Because what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? James says, let not many of you become teachers, because we shall receive the greater condemnation. What does it profit anyone to gain the whole world if they lose their soul? The Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, he loves his sheep. And if you are teaching lies, you better stop it. No matter what it costs you, you better stop teaching lies. In the name of the Lord, you better stop. Hallelujah. We have a blessed hope, saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.